They once called each other Little Rocket Man and Dotard. Now they plan to meet. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. President Donald Trump says he'll meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. That would be a first for an American president. Asian markets rallied on the news. Karishma Vaswani with our partner, the BBC, has more from Singapore.
Investors in the region have been watching the potential conflict between the U.S. and North Korea for months now. So it's no surprise that news the two could meet by May is being greeted with a sigh of relief. East Asian economies would almost certainly be hit by a conflict on the Korean Peninsula because the region is so central to global shipping and manufacturing and integrated supply chains. Economists had warned that any escalation of the tensions on the peninsula could disrupt trade and economic activity. So the fact that a respite may be on the cards is welcome news. But this is a meeting between arguably two of the most volatile leaders in the world, Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. A lot could change between now and May, and that would spell more uncertainty for movements on Asian markets.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reporting from Singapore. And let's do the numbers. As we've been talking about, Asian markets are up. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed 1% up. The Nikkei closed up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all nearly flat, with the Dow future up just 8 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.88%. The president yesterday, surrounded by steelworkers, made his tariffs on aluminum and steel official. This was over the objections of his own party and many U.S. allies. While there's an exception for Mexico and Canada and the possibility of exempting other countries, the tariffs are pretty broadly applicable for now. The justification for these tariffs, according to the Trump administration, is that U.S. metal production has been undercut by cheap imports, particularly from China. But the reality is that these tariffs wouldn't actually affect Chinese steel very much. That's according to Chad Baum, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He's crunched some numbers and joins us. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning.
So, Chad, you don't disagree that China is, in fact, flooding the world with cheap steel.
Yeah, that's right. So China has been expanding its steel and aluminum production capacity over the last 10 to 12 years. And that made sense initially when they were growing at 10 to 12% per year, and they needed all of their steel to be able to build, you know, new cities and roads and bridges and all kinds of consumer goods. But as their growth has slowed down, they need much less steel than they used to, and they're increasingly exporting that onto world markets. And that is, you know, affecting prices everywhere and hurting U.S. steel companies, European steel companies, Canadian steel companies, steel and aluminum producers all over the world. In many respects, it is unfair. The government is involved, their subsidies involved. They're more hesitant to shut down plants when the capacity is no longer needed. They're more hesitant to lay off workers. It's a different model than we're used to, certainly in the United States.
So if China is flooding the world with cheap metals unfairly, what is the problem with imposing tariffs like the president's? Because we've had tariffs on steel under President Bush, under President Obama. Where's the problem?
What President Trump in some respects is doing isn't new, but that's part of the problem. 95% of the steel that the United States imports from China has already been stopped or slowed down because of special tariffs. So with President Trump's proposed new tariffs, it's not actually going to be hitting China with import restrictions. It's likely to be hitting our trade allies and also our national security allies.
So you're saying that our allies are not dumping cheap steel, but they are getting punished, whereas China is dumping cheap steel, but it's already been punished, so these tariffs don't really hurt China.
That's essentially it.
You make the argument that these tariffs, rather than punish China, actually could help it. How does that work?
So the main concern with China is that it has too much capacity. The United States thinks this, but so do our friends and allies in Europe and in Canada and Japan. And so the right approach to dealing with China here is to get all of those groups of countries, not only our security allies in the United States, but our trade allies, and get us to collectively put pressure on China to rein in its excess capacity. But by antagonizing these trading partners with new tariffs, they're going to feel pressure to slap tariffs on these sorts of products themselves. And it makes cooperating in the bigger picture issues that the United States had with China much more challenging.
Chad Bown, economist and senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
In about an hour and a half, we will be getting a very important set of numbers. The jobs report from last month. How many jobs were created, the unemployment rate, and wage growth for February. According to the Economic Policy Institute, wages have been growing across the income spectrum over the past year. In fact, low-wage earners have seen their pay increase faster than high-wage earners. Marketplace's Dane Gorenstein has more.
In 2017, low-wage workers saw earnings on average go up from $9.54 an hour to $9.90.
That's an increase of 3.7%. And the increase at the top was actually smaller, about half as small.
That's Elise Gould with the Economic Policy Institute, who authored the report. Nearly half of the states raised minimum wages last year, which Gould says is one factor behind the bump. American Enterprise Institute's Aparna Mater says another driver, the stronger economy and a tightening labor market.
Which tells you that the recovery is finally making its way down to the bottom of the income ladder.
So things are finally looking up for low-end workers, but they're still lagging behind top earners, says Gould.
It's coming on the heels of so many years of very slow and unequal growth that workers are just barely making up for lost ground.
Between 2000 and 2017, high-wage workers saw a 22% salary jump. People earning under $10 an hour, just 9%. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.